I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Kia ora, Steve. Welcome back.
Kia ora. I exist.
Yes.
I reaffirm my existence to myself and to the listeners and to yourself.
And we're so glad to have you back.
Oh, thank you.
How have you been?
You know what? It's been a busy end of the year.
Hell yeah.
And what an end of year time it is.
And what a time.
Of reflection, of musing, of plotting, scheming, hoping and dreaming.
All of the above.
Yeah. Yeah, 26 is going to be awesome. But let's not get ahead of ourselves because it's still 25. And what kind of entertainment correspondent would I be if I didn't do some kind of end of year wrap up?
Woohoo! We all do it.
Yeah, it's we're all reinventing the wheel one segment at a time. In this fractious and collapsing media landscape. Hey, look, what a great year for movies. It has not always been a year for, like, uplifting movies.
No.
In fact, probably most of the things I'm going to talk to you about today are a little bit gloomy in one way or the other. However, I reckon that one of the things that runs through a lot of these is that even when films are tackling kind of serious issues or grim realities, they came with a dose of usually quite black humour woven into them. And
brilliant.
Actually, the first category of 2025 films that I'll mention, I think, exemplify that really well. In fact, look, this category is called movies that came out via Warner Brothers that, if Netflix owns Warner Brothers, will we see movies like this in the future? Answer, probably no, but let's talk about the movies anyway.
Great.
These all fit that billing of movies that attacked kind of semi-serious topics but had good doses of humour. But yeah, riddle me this, if you think these will come to Netflix, thinking about what Netflix original content looks like, will we get one battle after another, Weapons and Sinners? And I'd say that, while I do have a habit of throwing money hand over fist at filmmakers, it's not these kinds of filmmakers, and maybe not this much money. These films still stick with me even at the end of the year. I do need to revisit Weapons. I refamiliarised myself with Sinners, and I've jinxed myself, but actually, oh no, there they go. Every time I talk about one battle after another, I do get goosebumps.
Really?
I've got to say, these are weak goosebumps in
wow.
comparison. Because this film, saw it a couple times, just left a real mark on me. I know this is just an ultra cliche film dude movie. We don't all dress like Leonardo DiCaprio does in a bathrobe with big sunglasses, unshaven and stoned all the time. It's just some of the time. But Paul Thomas Anderson really pulled one out of the bag for me with this. It's urgent. It's energetic. It's got it's a big self critique about getting old and lazy, and maybe I related to that a little bit. But it's also chilling examination of what Trump America looks like through a satirical lens. So you get to have a laugh at it, but yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Looking a little bit further back to the film festival period of the year, the stuff that's kind of stuck with me through that, Surat, this is coming back to cinemas in the new year. This starts at a rave in the Moroccan desert. It's got an incredible soundtrack booming at you through the screen. This is a go see it on the big screen film for sure. Then becomes a journey across the Moroccan desert. Has some challenging elements to it. It's not for the faint of heart. But it's a magnificent film. Interesting to see it on a lot of Oscar shortlists that were released today. So it's hopefully going to get swept up into that conversation, propelling a lot more viewership. Also, opening night of the film festival and the Palme d'Or winner, It Was Just an Accident. It was a very, very good watch. About the aftermath of a group of individuals tortured by the secret police in Iran. Again, sounds really grim, but there's a kind of levity to this film that's really surprising. There's a lot of kind of comedic interplay between these people now going about their ordinary lives who think they've stumbled onto their torturer but aren't 100% sure. So it's kind of it's almost got like a bumbling sort of caper quality to it, but in the background the whole time is this state-sanctioned abuse, so not totally cheery. Eddington, it was a festival film, I guess. Ari Aster's COVID-era satire. It's kind of a nightmarish dream film in some ways. really takes you back to that period of everyone losing their marbles over COVID. Again, you know, look, these aren't sales, some of these. It doesn't sound like a place you want to go, but this film's really good, and I really enjoyed it a lot more on a rewatch. Stressful, yes, but it's propelled with a lot of really good humour. And also from the film festival, I will mention The Weed Eaters.
Shout out.
Callum Devlin's film, made with a bunch of great creative contributors. Hopefully, well, this be very, very surprised if this doesn't come back to the big screen in the new year. It deserves to. Not too sure what the future holds for the film, but considering not nearly enough people got the chance to see it after it filled the Civic for its one Auckland screening, bring it on. This is a... I think anyone that's familiar with the work of Sports Team won't be surprised by this, but feels like a kind of another generation or another evolution of that of New Zealand reflecting itself on screen. It's not as sort of... kind of makes the Taika Waititi sort of New Zealandness look a bit kind of Kiwiana in comparison. And you know, I think we have spent enough time sitting in that particular strain of awkward New Zealand comedy. This is totally. a more authentic feeling one.
Yeah.
And the weed smoking felt pretty authentic as well. and I'll just briefly mention a couple of things from earlier in the year that might has kind of fallen off this end of year conversation a little bit. One was Baby Girl. I really dug the Nicole Kidman, Harris Dickinson flick, delivering far more than just the kind of salacious erotic thriller stuff that it was maybe billed as. Filmmaker Helena Rain is up to some really interesting stuff about female desire with this film, and you know, how issues of power and control fold into that. And yeah, so it's a lot more than you know, kind of a 90s sex shocker writ large, although it does have those elements if you're a creep. And the other thing from earlier in the year I'll mention is Final Destination Bloodlines. Let's finish on a high watermark of cinema for the year. I love the Final Destination films. There's something about that Rube Goldberg elaborate death through a series of plausible coincidences that's just so fun to watch in the cinema. Really kind of brings everyone's nerves up at the same time. And, you know, I think so long as you're watching it with, like, at least one other person, it's a pretty fun way to do it. So check that out from the couch. A worthy entrant in the franchise, and I think probably one of its better, if not the best, but it's one of its better installments. So nice to see a bit of IP resurrected. Well,
yeah.
Not always the case. So few reflections. Hey, look, let's just look forward a tiny bit. I'm going to look forward to 7:30 p.m. tonight. I'll be at the Hollywood Avondale. There is an anniversary screening of my favourite ever film from Aotearoa, The Quiet Earth. Jeff Murphy's tale of a man who wakes up to find himself completely alone. Really cool sci-fi movie. Really cool, you know, creative use of budget New Zealand film from the 80s. And a real time capsule of holy shit, does New Zealand look as empty as it felt on screen in this movie. But... you know, all of the empty streets, rugby grounds, cars, all the stuff. It's very, very kind of nostalgic, but it takes on a creepy tone given the circumstances. So that's playing on 35mm. So it's a really rare chance to see this. I can't wait to see this tonight. And going into the break, I think two things I'll be keeping an eye on. One will be the online movie streamer Cathode Cinema. I've mentioned this before, that this plays down via a Twitch stream. You can find out what they're playing via their Instagram account. They just announce kind of each day what's playing. It's not on every day. The Instagram account is Cathode Cinema. But basically, they play these curated batches of programming. So, like, for instance, the last one from last week was Friday Freezes. And it was all kind of B-grade sci-fi action with cold elements in it. and the theme before was cold ass winter. Get on Cathode, have the chat open if you feel like it. See people like Chris Cudby popping up in there. And so this is a good one for the cult film watcher. And I kind of like, in this era of decision paralysis about what to watch, that you can just watch someone else's programming. And you can kind of dip in and out of it as you see fit, but it's not like, oh, what do I feel like doing now? It's like, well, here it is.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep watching it or come back to it later on?
That's such a cool concept.
If you need a little bit more control over your viewing, I'm also eager to see what the next batch of titles on the Letterboxd video store entail. This is their foray into curated rentals that you can get through Letterboxd. Very much designed, I think, with the Letterboxd community in mind. So the titles of a certain kind. I tried it out for the first time the other night. I watched Todd Haynes' 1991 debut feature, Poison. Nothing but good things to report about how easy it is to use, and a nice way to see a film that is otherwise a little bit hard to track down. And they also present, so it's a mix of slightly hard to find catalog films and also some unreleased new films or films that haven't picked up distribution. So be very keen to see what they have in store next. So that's some future stuff. Go back and watch some of those films I mentioned before if you haven't seen them. It's a really, really good year for movies, I think. We'll get on to 2026 when it's bloody 2026.
Bring it on. Thank you so much, Steve, for a wonderful wrap-up and for a wonderful year. We love the segment, so thank you.
Oh, that's the reinforcement I need after a couple of weeks of wagging.
Yeah. Come back. Thanks so much. That was Flicks and That.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.